discussion, is recorded.
Sorry.
I'll leave this teed up, I guess, for now, since I'm meeting to a motion.
Hey, we are ready.
We're ready, okay. This is the planning commission's regular session for Monday, March the 11th, 2024. First order of business is the roll call. Mr. Updike.
Here.
Mr. East.
Here.
Mr. Berman.
Here.
Mr. Brannigan is here. Mr. Hanselman.
I'm here.
And Mr. Braulio Escobar Esquire.
Here.
And Marjorie Blum is missing, California. First order, first item up is the approval of the minutes. We have 3 minutes to approve, one work session and 2 regular sessions. Anybody would like to make a motion for approval?
I just said the commission approve of the minutes for the work session of February 26, 2024, as well as the minutes from the February 26, 2024 regular meeting.
And what about the minutes for February 12th?
I don't have those. That's not on our, I don't have
back, sir.
That something got added?
It's
correct, we're speaking about the February 12th.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's today that we noticed that a big, yeah, that it was in opposition, not in support.
I see, yes, yes.
Okay, so we have a motion on February 26th and regular session meeting on February 26th. Any, what I'd like to amend to put the
Jim will.
For February 12th?
Oh, I also suggest we approve February 12th, regular meeting minutes with the corrections made by the staff.
Right.
Second.
Thank you for catching that, by the way.
Oh, yeah. We have a motion to approve. Second. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Hearing none, minutes are approved. That leads us up to the public comments. And we do
looks
have
like
a guest.
Yes.
Here, women, I have to, you can come up. I got to read something first, but you can have a seat.
No,
oh, no, no, we don't have any.
No,
we're not.
Yeah,
it's not. Okay. Yeah, have a seat.
This one?
Yeah.
Okay. I just like to comment this briefly, and I provide you some additional information that hopefully you'll have a chance to review your meeting 2 weeks from
Since we're recording this, can we get your name and address?
Yeah. Well, my name's Mark Arnold. I live inside the Newport Urban Growth Boundary, own Thailand both inside and outside the city limits, and have been helping my son and daughter-in-law start a small oyster farm. And we have a major interest in the Yaquina Bay Estuary Management Plan. On the estuary management plan, the needs and gaps assessment recommended developing a policy to support the aquaculture industry, recommended revision of the use standards, categorized both of these actions as tier two, and then said tier two actions would accomplish desirable modernization objectives that would be impractical to complete within the limits of resources and or time constraints of the current update process. And I interpret that as meaning the project team was unable to do that or thought it was outside of the scope of their contract work that they did in support of the process today. In addition, the project team provided responses to a number of public comments, and in the responses they said, updating any tier two or three recommendations from the needs and gaps assessment will need to be performed by the local jurisdictions. The project team has included a recommendation that tier two and three recommendations be completed. In other words, the project team has acknowledged the August 2023 final draft is incomplete and has said local jurisdictions need to complete the work. I can understand why the project team was unable to provide an update for aquaculture. No one on the project team has any educational or job experience related to aquaculture. By helping start an oyster farm, I've learned a lot about oyster farming over the last 10 years. My son is a biologist with significant knowledge about the ecology of the estuary and about shellfish aquaculture, including having experience at Hatfield. Based on our experience and in some additional research I've done, I've written needed updates about aquaculture and about our area of the estuary. I am requesting updates to the estuary management plan and providing my requests at this time so you can consider them in advance of your future work sessions. It is essential that people who have knowledge about the ecology of the estuary and about shellfish aquaculture be allowed to participate in writing an up-to-date, usable EMP. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you. Does anybody have any questions they'd like to ask Mr. Arnold while he's sitting here? I just have a comment
that whole tier two thing, the fact that they say all this needs to be done, but we aren't going to do it, is ridiculous, in my opinion. And I think that will be a topic of discussion, both at the work session and at the hearings.
I was surprised, to follow up your comment, I was surprised when I read all the comments that were posted and the responses, because it seemed to me like half the responses were, we're not doing it, it's going to be in tier two, even though they all seem to be desirable things to do. So it just seems like there's a lot that's still undone in the update of the plan. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Sure.
You will come back when we're actually going to have that work session.
I would, yeah. If I'm new to this process. So if I can attend, I would be happy to, and...
Please do. Sherry will keep you posted.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And I would like to get some more people worked into the effort, too, besides myself, who have knowledge about the estuary and about the status of current research projects. And I think it would be helpful to have more experts involved in this process than the project team had been able to involve to date.
Do you see barriers in the existing plan that impact your ability to put together your small oyster farm?
Well, yes. I can address that a little bit. And one of the documents I provided for you to review over the next 2 weeks that does sort of address that. And that is in the 1982 plan, there were matrices that provided a lot of guidance about what you could do and not do in each management unit. And in particular for aquaculture, provided guidance about what you could do in natural management units, as well as conservation management units. When all those matrices were deleted in the update, it deleted all the guidance that allowed aquaculture to be done in the natural management units. And then in place of that, there is a proposal for zoning ordinances based on the Goal 16 rule. The Goal 16 rule was last significantly modified in 1984, 40 years ago. And I'm surprised that we're being asked to do an update when DLCD has not updated its rule in the last 40 years. And then they say there are a lot of things that are out of scope for the update because it's not consistent with the rule. So a lot of things have been learned through research over the last 40 years. The Army Corps of Engineers has issued a nationwide permit for shellfish aquaculture. as well as for seaweed and for finfish, as in other areas that did not exist 40 years ago. So there's a whole regulatory program that Corps has that did not exist previously, that of course everybody, shellfish farms would need to be in compliance with. Well, by deleting the matrices and then not acknowledging all the work that's been done in the past 40 years, and then having a proposed zoning ordinance that is very vague in terms of what you can do and not do, it creates a lot of uncertainty about what can be done and not done. There's this whole language in the ordinance about whether if something is a significant alteration in a natural management unit, then it makes it more difficult to do. But alteration is never defined anywhere. So it's very subjective. And every planner in every jurisdiction can have a different interpretation. So things in Lincoln County, I'm more concerned about Lincoln County than the city of Newport, but in Lincoln County, the previous planners said we're okay. If they leave and a new planner comes in and they say you can't put anything in natural management in it because anything's an alteration, that is a changing the interpretation of the rules. Just because one person left, another person came in, and there's no specificity about what you can really do. In aquaculture, it's a particular concern because it's all funded privately. So like you put serious money in the line, thinking something is acceptable, and then somebody leaves and then another person is hired and then they say you can't do it. Just because their idea is different from the idea of the previous person. So that's kind of where I'm coming from. I think a lot of other people, especially, it's important for people that are doing something in the estuary to know what they can do and not do before they start doing it. And that's part of my recommendations and requests for modifications to the estuary management plan is to really lay out with some degree of detail what's allowed and what's not allowed for shellfish aquaculture and for some other areas. And then base that on current core regulations and the best current scientific research and recommendations of organizations like the Nature Conservancy. And then let them define, the experts define, kind of inform the process about what makes sense and doesn't make sense. And then lay that out in the plan so everybody knows what the ground rules are. The 82 plan had some ground rules and they've been deleted and there's no ground rules anymore in the proposed revision. It's just like policy statements that are up to subjective interpretations. And I think maybe I'm the first one to kind of speak up and worry about it because I've spent money trying to help start an oyster farm and we're selling oysters. If somebody says, their view, you can't put equipment in the water to grow oysters, even though it doesn't do any damage to anything else that's growing in the estuary, then it's sort of like, okay, the Nature Conservancy says it's okay, it's NOAA best practices, all the researchers say it's okay under the core rules, but then one planner in one jurisdiction may just not like it for whatever reason, and then not be an expert, but then, it just makes it more difficult for people trying to do something that you think is productive and helpful for the community and helpful for the estuary. And then you feel like somebody's changing the rules after you thought you were doing something that everybody liked and supported. So that's kind of where I'm coming from. And I'm not sure to what extent other people have sort of similar comments, but I suspect in the area of active restoration, there's a lot of uncertainty about what would be acceptable and not acceptable in the estuary. And it's also, sort of surprising to me because this is an estuary where a lot of things have been done historically that have damaged the ecology of the estuary. like all the native oyster beds that were sort of destroyed 80 to 100 years ago, as an example. And then a lot of logging that has taken place where logs are dragged down hills and areas were dug out of the tide flats for log storage. And then all the stuff that was dredged out was dumped something else. And like the, you know, major areas of the estuary are now deep mud that were not deep mud, you know, before all this activity took place. So what you do now, you may have to do something proactively that is helpful for the ecology of the estuary in terms of active restoration. And oyster farming is helpful because it oysters clean water. And you can't do it the way it was done 120 years ago anymore. You just have to do it a different way. But then you just don't want, you want people to consider what is really beneficial for the ecology of the estuary and not have preconceived notions that if you put something in the estuary now that wasn't there 10 years ago or 20 years ago, it's a problem. Because some things you can do can be helpful to the estuary. And that's kind of where, if you read my sort of suggested modifications to the plan in advance of the next meeting, you can probably see my thinking in more detail, more specific areas. But you know, today, before this session, I've sort of raised concerns about it, but I thought I needed to really take the next step. Like, okay, what do you do? If you want to change something in the plan, what do you want to change? So I spent a lot of time over the last month or 6 weeks trying to think through that and then write like specific additional appendices that could be added or maybe a few exceptions to the goal and some edits to a couple, some areas that are like the management units 9 and 10. So there'd be sort of specific language that you and others can look at. So it's not just some vague, you know, it needs to be changed and then nobody knows how to change it. I mean, when it's, you know, and then you can react to that if you want to share that with, you know, other people that have a serious interest in these sorts of questions. The ecology of the estuary, I mean, I would welcome that. And, you know, discussion of people that, you know, scientists and others have experienced actually working in the estuary instead of all the writing being done by, you know, a contact group or two are in Portland and two are in Eugene, and then nobody has any, you know, background about in biology related to the estuary or aquaculture or, you know, I think, you know, it'd be better for local people who are familiar with what's going on here and people that have really experience in ecology and aquaculture and active restoration and, you know, and current rules that the regulators at the, you know, federal and state, you know, outside of DLCD, but, you know, the ones that are actually, you know, trying to have regulations based on best practices, have them more involved in the process or have people like reading what NOAA recommends and what the Nature Conservancy recommends and then and involve, you know, somehow incorporate that into the consideration, you know, before going forward.
Can I ask you a question that has nothing to do with the planning or anything, but you mentioned because of past practices, the natural, oyster beds that we had got wiped out by silt from the logging and all the rest of it.
Well, dredging initially.
Okay, dredging.
Over-harvesting and dredging.
Yeah. So there's no, we could not replant oyster beds and try to bring it back to.
In most of this estuary, you cannot do that because you don't have, you know, the bottom, what they call the substrate. The substrate's what's underneath the water that things kind of can attach to.
And
most of the solid substrate is gone. There are some local, some areas, some pockets where you can do, you can find some of the old native oysters growing. And there's some areas where you can do some restoration. But in my view, you can get other people to come in who have experience with trying to locate areas you can do this. And most of the estuary cannot do that. In King Slough, between two purchases, I have purchased over 200 acres of tideland. And we invited in a biologist who was working for the Confederated Tribes of Sluts Indians to consider whether he could do oyster restoration of native oysters in King Slough. They grow below mean low tide. You know, they don't grow up on the tide flats.
I'm very familiar with
oysters. Yeah. So, but there's a tidal channel that comes through there. So, like, can you grow native oysters as a restoration project in the tidal channel? And she had tiles and was trying to collect, larvae or spat or something. But the problem was there was so much silt that was falling onto the tiles that it covered up anything that was there. And she basically concluded you can't do native oyster restoration in King Slough. Because there's too much, the mud flats are too high, and there's too much silt that falls on top of whatever grows naturally. Okay. So you have to work around that somehow in a very limited way.
Yeah, that's why
that's why in a commercial oyster farming, a lot of that's done above the bottom of the tide flats.
They grow on top. Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Do you own the Aquinnah River bottom land?
In Thailand, ownership, you own the bottom. You don't own the water.
Right. That's you own the bottom.
Yes. So most of the tideland, the tideland in this estuary was granted in private ownership by the state of by the state of Oregon.
Yes.
And a lot of it has been sort of resold over the years, and some of it has gone back into ownership of like the port owns most of the tideland at Sally's Bend. But that at one point was privately owned, and then went back into tideland ownership. Idaho Flats, there's 250 acres there that's owned by the Oregon Board of Higher Education. That's considered part of the Hatfield campus. That at one point was, went to the railroad that built the railroad line from the valley out to Aquinnah City, and then went into ownership of logging companies, and then that was transferred to the port at some point. But there's still, there's tideland like in King Slough and adjacent to King Slough that's still privately owned, other pockets of tideland that are still privately owned.
Yes. I had friend researchers that were looking to lease land for bottom land for oyster production themselves.
In this estuary?
Yeah. They had a deal cut with a private owner that fell through in a. Mm-hmm. Our young son overheard the conversation and decided he would try the cultivating of oysters. So it fell through for my friend. She had located, she's an oyster researcher. So
okay.
She knew exactly what she needed. So it's hard to find private ownership that isn't somehow tied up with that which is available for oyster, has a substrate for oysters. Most of that is shut off from investors.
Well, this is sort of the question. The Port of Newport does have a policy that's very supportive of shellfish aquaculture. And they own 500 acres, and Sally's Bend is not being used. But there'd have to be water quality testing to make sure that it would be acceptable to the regulators.
Yeah, well, salinity is real important to those little buggers.
Yeah, but it's bacteria too.
Yeah,
it's part of food regulation.
Yeah, but there are those basic needs, and the river doesn't provide much of that anymore. So quite a reclamation project in front of us.
Yeah. No, I'm happy to come back and, work sessions and,
I don't even talk to
this.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Yeah, well, you're welcome. I'm happy to come back, and then, you know, I hope that there's some other people that, you know, might be interested in, you know, willing to come and share their thoughts, too.
Definitely. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. We have the action items and the agenda. There, 4A is the, we need to have a motion on the approval of the Planning Commission's 24-25 goals.
So we discussed those during the work session.
Correct.
And we had a back and forth. I didn't hear anybody objecting to the goals or...
No, I think it was about the end of the support. Support to secure funding. Yeah. That was in the Word version of the goals.
Do we have a consensus?
I'd like to move that we approve the Planning Commission fiscal year 24-25 goals as amended at the work session this evening.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Hearing none, motion carries. Then we move on to new business, unfinished business, or director's comments.
No, nothing today.
We have nothing. Okay, at 7:40, the regular session has...